The following is a lecture entitled Simple Living, Not Simply Living, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on December 23rd, 2017, in Warrandyte, Australia.
So I've been asked to speak today on simple living, not simply living. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganutam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadishatarine. So it's a very interesting title. I really like the poetic quality of it. Simple living or simply living. If you analyze it, there's a lot of deep meaning there. If we're not engaged in simple living, we're not actually simply living, we're dying. Simply living with no spirituality is not really living, that's the point. You're just going through the motions of living. Actually, we've transmigrated through millions and millions of life forms to get this human body. The Vedas say, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you have a human form, you are meant for self-realization. Is it? So unless you actually pursue the pathway of self-realization, spiritual enlightenment, you're not really a human being even. You're just living as an animal, a polished animal. And the dog is running on four legs, you're running on four wheels on your car, isn't it? So simply having a nice automobile, a nice Toyota or Honda or whatever, is a nice air-conditioned house, doesn't mean you've achieved some high position of consciousness. The bees, they have very nice beehives. You see. Very nice house they have. You see. But real human life means that you have to actually awaken your dormant Krishna consciousness. That's human life. You say, well, why Krishna consciousness? Well, the thing is, you have to understand who you really are. This present material body is not who you are. We're all originally in the spiritual world. That's our original identities. We're all originally residents of the spiritual world. But due to some mistake of consciousness, being envious of the Supreme Lord, He's given us a place where we can feel that we're the Supreme, because that's what we wanted to think, that I'm the Supreme. This world is a place where you can think you're the Supreme, even though you're not really, you can imagine you're the Supreme. Even we see this in little children, you see. One kid is playing in his room. The kid comes from next door. He looks at the kid's toys and the kid goes, mine, mine, you see. So this is a place where you can think you're the owner, you're the proprietor. But what does Krishna say in Gita? Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheswaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantamitsati. One who knows me is the supreme owner, supreme enjoyer, and the best friend of all living entities. He has peace, and no one else. So here, I'm thinking I'm the owner, therefore I'm the enjoyer. You see, it's my house, therefore I can do whatever I want to in it. I can enjoy whatever I want to do because it's my house. Doesn't matter, pious, impious, I can do whatever I want because it's my house, you see. That's an illusion. As soon as we think I'm the enjoyer, I'm the owner, then we cut ourselves off from our friend Krishna. And that's not a very intelligent thing to do. Because when you actually reestablish your relationship with Krishna, then your life becomes unlimitedly auspicious. Because actually to associate with Krishna is the supreme perfection of our existence. And you actually acknowledge that Krishna is the owner, therefore he is the enjoyer, then you actually re-enter into that loving relationship with Krishna. You actually experience Krishna wherever you go. You actually feel he is present. You can experience his presence, you see. This is what Krishna consciousness actually means, to directly associate with that supreme person who is the source of all existence at every minute. At home, at work, wherever you go, on the commute, wherever you are, you're always in direct contact with Krishna. That's what it means to be Krishna conscious. And that's the real purpose of human life, to get back to that relationship. Just like in the spiritual sky, we read about how these leelas are going on, and everything is centered around Krishna. Everything. He's the cynosure of all eyes. Everything rotates around Krishna. So the Vedic culture, which was practiced in India for thousands of years, which has now been disrupted by the age of Kali, you see, that Vedic culture is the culture of reestablishing that relationship with Krishna or God. Either the original form or an expanded form, like Lord Ram. It's the same. Ram is also Krishna, just in a different rasa, different taste, you see. When God wants to have many wives, or many girlfriends, that's Krishna, you see. He wants to have only one, that is Ram. It's the same person in different rasas, that's it. So to get back to that loving relationship with that supreme person, that's the real meaning of simple living. I come from America. We have a philosopher there named Emerson. Prabhupada quoted him, "Plain living and high thinking." Trouble is, now we have very sophisticated living and no thinking. You see, we're not introspective. Where do they teach you in the school to consider what is the purpose of your existence? They teach one plus one equals two. That's the beginning of education. And A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, K, K, L, M, N, O, P. That's how we begin education. But there's no question, who am I? Where have I come from? What is the part of my existence? That's not even discussed. What sort of education is that? That's not education. You see? Real education means Tato Brahma Jigyasa. What is the absolute truth? That's the education. You see. So the Vedic culture, you have Gurukula, the young boys, they go to the ashram of the spiritual master. That's their education. At the age of five, they begin education. So we didn't have that good fortune. But by the grace of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder Charya of our ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We're getting the education now, better late than never. This knowledge is so powerful that in any age, one can understand it. A young boy, a young girl, a teenager, doesn't matter what age, everyone should be educated in this knowledge. Because this knowledge brings you back to your actual identity. I'm not this body. I'm a spiritual being. I'm qualitatively one with God. You see? So by coming back to that original identity, the result is you become ecstatic. The nature of the living, God is not cruel. God has expanded all us from Himself to enjoy loving relationships with us. That's why we exist, to have loving relationship with God. We don't exist because my mom and dad wanted to have a baby. That's not why I exist. That just explains how the body came about. But the actual jiva who lives in that body, why does he exist? He is emanated from Krishna or God for the purpose of the Lord enjoying a loving relationship with him. That's why you exist. Each one of you exists because the Lord wanted to have a specific type of loving relationship. As I've explained many times before, there are no two living entities who are alike. Everyone is unique. It's like snowflakes. There's no two snowflakes that are the same. They're all different. So every jiva is different. So Krishna wants to enjoy relationships. That's his nature. He loves love. He loves rasa, loving rasa. So to expand the flavor of rasa, he expands an unlimited number of living entities from himself to enjoy a particular type of loving relationship with each and every living entity. Every living entity, there's a different sort. There's five primary rasas, but there's an infinite number of subordinate rasas. So each one of you have a certain nature, a certain quality that gives a certain, when you come back to loving Krishna, that gives a certain type of satisfaction to him that nobody else can give him. You see? Everybody's unique. So we're meant to get back to that loving relationship with Krishna. You see? To satisfy him and to satisfy ourselves. So the Vedic culture trains us how to do that. So Prabhupada is reintroducing Vedic culture. This is actual Indian culture, not, you know, chai, chai, chai. That's not Indian culture. That's the British exploitation of Indians. Indians didn't drink tea. Britishers drank tea. The Britishers were growing tea in India to go back to the UK, you see. They thought, why don't we see if we can get these Indians hooked on tea? We can make more money off of them that way, you see. So they opened up, and every village, they said, oh, we'd like to introduce to you all this wonderful thing called tea. They had free tea stalls all over India. So, because the Indians didn't drink tea, that wasn't part of Indian culture, but they gave all the free tea stalls. And come and try this thing, tea, it's very nice. Come and try it. So the villagers, oh, I don't know. Well, come on, give it a try. I'll give it. So once they got you addicted on tea, now they started selling it to you. So now they think tea is Indian culture. It's British culture. It's British exploitation of India. You see. So Gandhi got the Britishers out, but he didn't get the tea out, you see. But Prabhupada is getting the tea up. You see. Prabhupada is doing more than Gandhi to bring back Indian culture. You see. Actually, Gandhi's movement, India was split. India, Hindustan, Pakistan. It was formerly one country. You see. It was split. The parting kick of the Britishers. We can't have India, therefore we will destroy it as we leave. That was the British. You see. But now, Prabhupada is bringing back real Vedic culture. Actually, formerly the whole world was India. The whole world was Indian culture, Vedic culture. During the reign of Maharaj Parikshit, the Hastinapur was the capital, and now it is India. That was the capital of the entire Earth planet. Australia was also part of Indian culture in those days. You see? The whole world was Vedic culture, Indian culture. The whole world. So our movement is actually, our mission is to bring back Vedic culture to the whole planet Earth. Whole planet Earth. Bring it back, you see. We want to revolutionize the entire, we're not just attracting, not just Indians. Of course, everyone's an Indian in that sense. The whole world, we're all Indians. Yeah. We're all part of the Vedic culture. We just forgot. So our mission is to make Australia Krishna conscious, America, Europe, Russia, China, everywhere, Africa. We want to make the whole world Krishna conscious because that's the actual natural identity of every living entity. So Lord Chaitanya therefore told us we should tell everyone about Krishna. That's our duty as Chaitanyaites, to give everyone the teachings of Krishna. So how does it apply now to our daily lives? I'm talking about some philosophy. Now let's get down to how then the philosophy sounds very nice, putting God back in the center, but how do I actually do it practically? You see, that's the question. Well, in your home, you have to make God the center, not the TV set. You see? You have an altar, you have Krishna, you see? You're going to have a nice picture, in the temple, or from India, you get a nice picture of Radha and Krishna. You're going to have Lord Chaitanya and his associates, who's Krishna himself coming again in the age of Kali to flood us with bhakti. You have Prabhupada there and have nice photographs. And that should be the center of your house, you see. Not stuck in some remote closet somewhere. But a very central part, instead of the, you know, setting everything on the television set in the living room. Who even needs a television set nowadays, really? But you make it a nice prominent area in your house. You have your altar, and you have the arati every day. You can offer an arati in the morning and the evening. All of your food should be offered on the altar before eating. And the kids also know, Mommy, has this been offered? The kids also know, Mommy, I won't eat it unless it's offered. You see? Krishna says, Patram pushpam palam tayam yome bhakti payachtati tadaham bhakti pavritam vashnami prayatatmanaha. If one will offer me a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. But no, I missed something out. What did I leave out? Bhaktya, with love. If you offer it with love, I will accept it. So this is a thing. It's called love in practice. Even though we're all pure devotees of Krishna, dormant within our heart, right now that's covered by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. So we practice love. Sadhana bhakti means you act in a loving way towards Krishna by first of all offering all your food to him before you eat. Offer him the arati ceremony. This is love in practice. Just like Prabhupada gives the example, formerly in Vedic culture, Indian culture, they'd be married when they were little kids. They would still live with their two little children, be married, husband and wife, but they're still living as children in their respective homes. But the little girl, she will cook something and take it to the other house to offer to her husband, you see. Even though there's no feeling, she hasn't even gotten puberty yet, there's no attraction for boys. But she's out of duty, she's serving the boy, the husband. You see. So when she becomes finally, she comes to puberty, then she'll feel that attraction, but now she already has that loving relationship based on service. You see. So that's an example also for us. But now we don't have pure love for Krishna, but we understand that he's the Supreme Lord and we're his servants, and we have to revive that love. So by engaging in activities, cooking our food, offering to Krishna, offering the arati to Krishna, visiting the temple of Krishna, reading the teachings of Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, you see, all these activities, what they're doing is they're bringing us back to our original enlightened state of consciousness, pure love of God. So instead of being running after this and that and so many things trying to be happy, we understand there's only one thing that can actually make us happy, and that's to revive our loving relationship with Krishna. We don't need this, that, so many things to be happy. We only need one thing to be happy, and that's love of Krishna. So that's how your life becomes very simple. All you really need is Krishna. It's all you really need. When you have Krishna, everything is there. You see? Krishna takes ekobahanam yovadadati kaman. That Supreme Person takes care of all the necessities. If I have Krishna, I have no anxieties, you see. Even for my bodily maintenance, I have no anxiety. Krishna is maintaining the atheists also. He won't maintain his devotees. He'll give good facilities. If I'm a devotee of Krishna, then I have no anxiety about anything. Everything. Krishna is in control of everything. My health, my wealth, everything. God is the supreme controller. Everything is acting under his direction. So if I'm connected with him, then everything becomes auspicious. Everything's auspicious. So it's that the example is given of the goldsmith and the blacksmith. The blacksmith, he just deals with iron. The goldsmith, all day he's tapping, tapping, tapping on the gold to bring it to the right shape. Tapping, tapping, tapping. The blacksmith, one stroke, boom, finished. You see. So Krishna Ganga is like that. You see, you just okay. The materialists are doing so many things they're trying to be happy. This to be happy, that to be happy, so many things. This, so many things to try to be happy. Make this arrangement, that arrangement, go on. Thousands and millions of arrangements trying to be happy and still not happy. You see. But Krishna consciousness is a very simple thing. Simply put Krishna back in the center, boom, one stroke, finished. Krishna is now the center of my life. Everything is for Krishna. Yat kadoshi yad asnasi yad dahosi dadasi yad tapashyati kuntaya tat kadushava mandarpanam. Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. That's all we have to do. All we have to do is put Krishna back in the center. And then our lives become full of bliss. And then everything becomes very easy. How I'll earn a living, that becomes easy by Krishna's arrangement. How I'll take care of my health, how I'll raise my kids, how I'll relate with my neighbors, how I'll relate with my boss. Every little detail of your life, when you put Krishna in the center, it becomes very easy because Krishna gives you the intelligence how to do everything in such a way that pleases him. You see? My relationship with my wife, I do in a way that pleases Krishna. That way, no divorce. Because it's not for my pleasure anymore. This relationship is not for my pleasure. Not that my wife has to please me, or I have to please my wife. No, now we both have to please Krishna. Then there's no question of divorce. But if I'm thinking I'm the center of the marriage, and she's thinking she's the center of the marriage, and that leads to divorce in many cases. Because actually God is the center. When you put God in the center, then all the anxieties are gone because that's his actual position. If I try to take the center, or my wife tries to take the center, or my kids try to take the center, there'll be havoc and chaos in the family life. So your kids are not the center either. They may be little demigods. They seem like little demigods. But no, they're not the center either. If you put your kids in the center, they will not get the proper training. They'll be puffed up. They have to be trained. Krishna is the center, not you. I'm not the center, you're not the center. Krishna is the center of existence. You see. That's how the kids will be properly trained. That's how they'll become very pious and moral, the highest standard. That's how they'll always be dedicated to the parents because they want to please Krishna by taking good care of their parents. When the parents get old, you see. You have to put God in the center, Krishna in the center. Everything becomes perfect. So this is the principle of simple living and not simply living like a like an animal, putting God back in the center. If there's some questions, I can. I'm supposed to go for another 10 minutes. So if there's any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them. A few questions are coming. If I can find it here. Okay, here we go on the inside. Krishna says, if one takes my shelter, I will remove reactions to all sinful actions. That's correct. We have so much, we have all committed a lot of sin in this lifetime and previous lifetime. But when you surrender to Krishna, he takes away the reactions to those sins. That's a fact. One Manaji, who has given her life to Krishna, went to Vrindavan and was molested. She cried to Krishna when that was happening, but Krishna did not come. Why? That's a very detailed. It depends. There's so many things. She wasn't fully surrendered to Krishna. She was still getting some. The most likely thing is, you know, even though she was practicing Krishna consciousness, she was not fully surrendered to Krishna, and she still had some previous karma because she was not fully surrendered. Although I can't say for sure, I just think that's the most likely scenario. She had not completely purified herself, and that was a sinful reaction she was getting. Because she wasn't completely purified yet. Western world has no faith in Krishna or demigods, and they have sinful activities with so much material opulence because of past pious activities. You see? Just like here, Australia, USA, these people have a lot of piety, previous piety that allows them to live in a very opulent, you know, way. Nice highways, everything nicely arranged, nice buildings, nice material facilities, past pious activities. You see? Very pious activity. But what are they doing? They're killing the cows, you see. So many things. So they're spoiling it. India has so much faith in Krishna, so much demigod worship, but no material opulence. Actually, formerly India was very, very opulent. If you read what it was like, you see, formerly India was very, very opulent with gold and jewelry and silver, very, very opulent place. But due to sin or pop, India has suffered.
Isn't it that one has to understand what is real opulence?
Real opulence means Krishna consciousness. Don't judge. It's better to live a simple life in a grass hut. A simple pious life in a grass hut is much higher position than living in some high-rise penthouse in Manhattan. Don't be carried away by material opulence. A good point. Give a mic for Mata. Guru Mata.
And he said, "Now I don't need anything from you. I'm living very opulently. My student brings me whatever they bring me, and here is a tamarind tree, and I'm very satisfied. This is simple living."
Yeah, it's a very good point. Why do ISKCON and other people spend so much money on building up temples when there is need for more education, food, shelter, and clothing. Actually, the first principle is, this is actual education. You think education is 1 + 1 = 2? That's a less important type of education. The temple is giving the highest education. How to devote oneself to God. That is more important than teaching people how to read. If you teach them how to read and they're still eating meat, what is the value of their reading? They're reading all kinds of books and going becoming dogs and hogs and camels and asses in their next life. What is the value of their reading and their education if they're not taught how to be a devotee of Krishna? This is the highest form of education. Anything else? Questions? So, got about 5 minutes left on our schedule. Any more questions, I can try to answer them. I hope you all understand these points, you see. That this is real education. Raja Vidya Raja Gogam Pavitamidamuttamam Dakra Shavagamam Dhanam Shushukam Katamam Yagam. This knowledge is the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 2. This is real education. What good is your education if they don't know who is God? You see? What good is your education? Mathematics, algebra, geometry, physics. What good is this nonsense? You know what these rascals are teaching? The famous physicist, Dr. Stephen Hawking, he says everything comes out of nothing. They call that education now. They teach you everything came out of nothing. That's their so-called education. What kind of nonsense is that? Everything came out of nothing. Can you show me even one thing that came out of nothing? Science means observation and experiment. You can do an experiment to prove your theory. We challenge Dr. Hawking. You do one experiment to show that anything can come out of nothing. But he presents that as gospel truth. Everything comes out of nothing. Can you pay even one thing out of nothing, Dr. Hawking? You see, these are the PhDs, the big educators. We're not interested in such education. It pollutes the mind. This is real education, you see. Actually, these colleges, universities, they should all be run by Vaishnavas, not these meat eaters. You go to the meat eaters for your education. The sex mongers and meat eaters, you go to them for your education. What sort of education is that? This is real education. Raja Vidya Raja Guvyam. So the temples, they're giving the highest education, higher than any PhD in any university, higher than Oxford. We're giving education here. You think we're not giving education? Why make a nice temple? We should spend money on education. Don't you understand? This is the highest education. So I've come here today to educate you. I'm here today to educate you. You know the meaning of the word comes from the Greek or Latin. It means to bring out what is already there. You already have this knowledge within you. It's not something we're imposing on you. You actually know all this stuff already, but it's buried deep. You have the greatest fortune buried within, deep within your heart right now. You already have it. We're not imposing something on you. You already know these things, but you've forgotten it by so many lifetimes of material association. So the spiritual master comes to bring that back up into your consciousness. It's buried in your subconsciousness right now. He brings it up from your subconsciousness back to your consciousness. So you go, oh yes, yeah, that makes sense. I'm not this body. I'm an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with God. I'm His servant, you see. Yeah, that makes sense. You see? By the kirtan, by prasad, by hearing from the spiritual master, hearing from Vaishnavas, engaged in going to the temple, engaged in observing the arati, taking the darshan of the deities, all these things purify your consciousness to bring you back to your original Krishna consciousness. So please do not think the temple is a waste of money. You should spend money on education, not on temples. That it doesn't make any sense at all. I hope you understand this point. So now we'll move on to the next phase of the program. Yeah, one more point, Guru Mata. Give Guru Mata the mic.
Temple, why do we make the temple? And ask one question to yourself. Where do we go when we are in distressed condition? Something wrong happens, where do we go? Ask that question and answers will come to you. Why do we have the temple? We want peace, tranquility, so that we can go to the temple. And so temple is not only for peace and tranquility, it educates us of our real thing, or get us out of the ignorance of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That is full ignorance, nothing much. So you have to understand where the temple is the place where we can educate ourselves. We have forgotten what real education is. Eating, sleeping and mating, what we are doing, the modern day education is teaching us how to eat, sleep, mate and defend only. That animal does it without any education. And human, it is something that the human being goes to college and uses so many years to learn what the animals can do it without any education. Is that the human life? The real knowledge is not given in these colleges. So the temple is the place where the real education one gets it.
Jai, thank you.
Hello.